Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All right, so Marvin Gaye, for you to start off this next segment. This is All of It. I'm Arun Venugopal filling in for Allison Stewart. Claymation. Today, it's a pretty familiar concept, conjuring up things like Gumby, Wallace and Gromit, and Tim Burton movies. The term was first trademarked in the 70s by a filmmaker named Will Vinton, who's often been called the father of claymation, and he's the subject of a new documentary called Clay Dream. The film traces Vinton's beginnings in animation, including his very edgy and interesting short film, Closed Mondays, which actually won an Academy Award, all the way through his mainstream success with none other than the California Raisins, thus the Marvin Gaye, which you heard, and which some of you may remember was an enormously huge trend, ad and sort of a franchise in, what, the 80s? In the 90s and 2000s, however, Vinton expanded beyond his clay beginnings into computer animation. You may remember those M&M characters that you still, I guess, see in commercials today, all that, Will Vinton. The documentary also shows how an investor in the studio, Nike founder Phil Knight, wrested control from Vinton in the early 2000s. The studio then changed its name to Leica with Phil Knight and his son Travis as the heads, and they've released films like Coraline, Missing Link in the years since then. Vinton died in 2018 at the age of 70 from cancer. Joining me now to discuss Vinton and the film Clay Dream is director Mark Evans. Mark, hi.
Hey, thanks for having me, Arun.
Welcome to All of It. So let's go back to the early days of Will Vinton. You've got some very trippy footage and scenes from the 60s where it's sort of like Berkeley. It's the 60s, a lot of crazy stuff going on. And here comes this art student, I guess, Will Vinton. I mean, what was this moment that he kind of entered into?
Yeah, so yeah, he went to Berkeley in the 60s, and actually he went there for architecture. And pretty quickly he discovered Gaudi and was inspired by his work and the way
architect Antonio Gaudi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. And so he was inspired by that, and that was kind of like the designs that he wanted to do in his architecture class. And in order to do that kind of work, he felt like he had to present those models in clay. So he started working with clay in architecture. And then he also had his dad's 16 millimeter camera, film camera. And he learned that he could present his work via film. So he started shooting these models that he was building of his architectural designs with clay. And that's really what kicked everything off. And then he would have parties at his house and they would be working with clay and, you know, drinking and you know, this was again the late 60s, so a lot of marijuana in the room there, and shooting these kind of just crazy designs. And then that led to stop motion, you know, getting movement out of those. And some of the very first works, I mean, you mentioned in the film there's a lot of footage of the 60s. Will made a documentary about the kind of like the counterculture movement going on, and some of the very earliest works of his claymation was in that documentary. He just kind of interspersed a few of those little moments, and they're pretty wild.
But I guess this is sort of gets at, I guess, one of the issues. He didn't actually invent claymation, correct?
No. So clay animation, early 1900s out of Eastern Europe, you know, it was probably even before that, you know, clay animation was invented. He did coin the term claymation. So, it's kind of funny. Like, if something is claymation, it's Will Vinton. Now, something can be clay animation and it's not. So, it's an interesting little distinction there. But what he did do was he really pioneered a lot of the things that came later with the medium. So he wasn't the first to animate clay figures or anything like that, but he really added a lot of filmmaking techniques because he was a filmmaker beforehand, like rack focus and camera movement and just things that are pretty standard in traditional filmmaking had never made its way into clay animation before Will started working with the medium.
And what got you interested in him?
So you know, I grew up with the California Raisins and the Domino's Pizza Noid, those characters, you know, for whatever reason, I fell for them. It's kind of funny to look back now and just think like, wow, those, like, how did those become such a phenomenon? They were television commercials to start with, but they were. And, you know, then they got turned in, the Raisins at least got turned into, you know, a lot of different, you know, CBS specials and things that went beyond just the commercials. But so I loved those growing up. The Christmas, the Claymation Christmas Celebration was something we watched every year as a family. So I was familiar with Will's work and the characters that he created. And I knew the guy that had the handlebar mustache, which was Will, but I didn't really know anything else about him or his story. And to be honest, kind of forgot about it until 2015. I was finishing up my previous film and just look, you know, always kind of looking for ideas. And I came across an article titled How the Father of Claymation Lost His Company to a Rapper Named Chili T. And so that piqued my interest, and I read the article, and it really, you know, detailed the rise and fall of Will's story in his studio, and what ultimately happens to him with the studio being, you know, essentially taken away from him. And as I read it, I thought that that really felt like a film, and it felt like, you know, it could be a great documentary with a plot. And so I reached out to Will. I found an email for him that day and got a response either that day or the next day. And the response was pretty much that he didn't really want to do it, but he'd be happy to meet and kind of, you know, see what I had in mind. So we met and hit it off, and, you know, and then he said he didn't want to do it again. But ultimately, you know, a couple months later, we stayed in touch and he finally gave the green light. But it was really that article, realizing that there was an actual story here that I thought would make a compelling film, that got me excited about it.
I was just thinking when I first saw the scenes about the Noid, who, for those of you who are too young to remember, this is like perhaps among the most annoying, obnoxious characters on TV in the 80s. And I have to mention, I had a Noid t-shirt. It was an Avoid the Noid t-shirt, which I'm sure was given to me. It was free. I did not buy it, but I wore it a lot.
And, I mean, I think Noid comes from annoying, right? So, I mean, highly. He was meant to be annoying, and he definitely was.
Clearly,
and he is.
He's a lot of pieces, I guess. Yeah, right. Yeah. But prior to this, you're talking about some major moments in sort of like 80s advertising and pop culture, you know, between the California Raisins, who sold a whole lot of raisins and became this major merchandising phenomenon and cultural moment in the 80s, along with, I guess, to a somewhat lesser extent, the Noid. But before that, he's making movies and stuff, and some of which, I guess, didn't do so well. But how was he really surviving? How did he have a business prior to these ads, which got him, like, you know, put him on the map?
Yeah, so survival mode, let's say, in like so he won his Oscar in 1975, which opened up a lot of doors, and they did start doing commercial work not long after, but most of that was smaller local type, you know, Rainier beer commercial, which is lost. I can never locate that. But they were doing these short films and they were getting funding for them. Will was, you know, really good at going out and getting, you know, the financing for these short films. He always kind of, I think, struggled to try to get the financing for the feature films that he wanted to make, but he was able to get the financing and make the short films. And then the local commercials kind of kept them afloat. And the short films were what I think is some of the best work, you know, that has ever been done in stop motion animation and clay animation. These are films like, The Creation and The Great Cognito and Legacy. Four of those films that were nominated for Academy Awards. He never won another one after his first film, Closed Mondays, but these are just beautiful pieces of art, which led then to his one and only feature film, The Adventures of Mark Twain, which is still a film that I think really, from an artistic standpoint, holds up today. It is really an amazing piece of work. That, you know, there's arguably some flaws in the story. And that's because they were trying to bring a lot of Mark Twain's lesser known stories together into one narrative. But it was just a showcase to show what they could do with claymation and what they had learned over that decade prior, making all those shorts, and it's really a phenomenal film. And probably the reason, you know, that film not having success is probably what led him down that commercial route a little bit more. It wasn't long after that where it was the Raisins and the Noid and all that stuff took off, and he became famous, even though he'd been, you know, for 15 years doing this this amazing work that had won Academy Awards, been nominated for Academy Awards, but nobody knew him for that.
And suddenly, in these great scenes in your film where he's like getting like just one voicemail after another from Michael Jackson, and it's just really funny because next thing we know, we see Michael Jackson sort of like saying like he wants Will to do the whole, I guess, claymation treatment for him. And then he's sort of enacting all these scenes of like, and this is where you see like somebody like Michael Jackson in this really kind of brilliant creative mode, which I just thought was like, I've never seen anything like this before. But he's sort of like saying, this is how I want the raisins to look like when they look like me. I don't know. Where'd you find this stuff?
Yeah. Michael really drove that whole process of becoming a California raisin. You know, he reached out to Will, and as you see in the film, he's leaving voicemail after voicemail when he can't get a hold of Will. He's tracking Will down. He shoots a video of himself performing as the raisins, which is what he wanted Will to do. And he, you know, Will spent a lot of time out on Neverland Ranch. And, you know, I kind of had to decide how much of this goes into the film. That Will had these great stories. But really, ultimately, I wanted to show some of that and then also kind of use that as like, this was really a peak for Will when he's got the biggest pop star, probably the most famous person in the world at the time, because this was Michael Jackson at its peak, just chasing him down, trying to work with him. And Will's kind of annoyed by it almost, you know, like.
Yeah, but there's this one shot that kind of stood out for me in this sort of Michael Jackson as a California raisin, and he's dancing, doing all his signature moves. And he's like that moment where he kind of like grabs the raisin, Michael Jackson grabbing his raisin crotch. I'm not sure if it's a raisin crotch. Can we say that's FCC approved? Yeah. Anyway, so there's, did that show? I mean, where did these things show? Who's watching like Michael Jackson as a California raisin?
Yeah, I think that was a commercial, and it ended up somewhere else too. But, you know, then that home video, that was just something somehow, you know, I guess Will saved it because it was sent to him by Michael. So I've got that. The voicemails Will had saved. He always thought he might do something with the voicemails, turn them into some sort of claymation short. So it was great to be, I love that he had those and I can include them. I mean, Will really kept records of all that stuff. And like I said, you know, Will spent a lot of time out with Michael on Neverland Ranch and hung out with the chimps and everything. And, you know, they became friends. But Michael really drove that creative process. And apparently he made a deal, like he did it for free. He did that commercial for free because he wanted to be a raisin so bad. And he had just previously, had a horrible experience doing a commercial for Pepsi where I think his hair caught on fire. And so his rule for Will was no ad agencies, nobody else involved. It's just me and you making this thing.
Oh, wait, we have a clip of the voicemails, which I just think is like, people have to hear this. Let's play that clip of Michael Jackson hounding Will Vinton.
Will, I really need you to call me. This is very important. Thank you. Bye. This is Michael calling again. Please don't think I'm being a nuisance. Let's do something here. Be pioneers. So, thank you. Bye.
Will, this is Scott Nordland from work, and Michael Jackson just called.
Will, it's Michael calling. Are you there? Will?
I love it. At the end, he gives him a second to just, you know, calls him twice just to see if he's going to answer that
yeah, last
you're
time. Just hovering over the phone. You're as maybe unusual as I am. You just kind of hover over a voice machine. And luckily, somebody decided, I will never delete these messages. In fact, I will never touch this voicemail machine again. This was preserved in its totality until you had the chance to, I guess, bring it to life.
Yeah. And you know, there's more too. I mean, I had to kind of cut that down for the film, but you know, maybe I should release see if I can release the whole voicemail track there. And I love how too, Scott Nordgren from work, I'm not even sure who that is. You know, he was working there at the time, and he sneaks in a little voicemail too that Michael Jackson's also calling Will at work.
But I guess things start taking a turn for the worse when Phil Knight from Nike enters the picture. What happens? These guys are both from Portland, right? But things just go south from there.
Yeah. So, you know, from what I understand, Phil Knight didn't invest in local companies really. And so this was a rare thing for him to get involved with the Portland company. And the main reason he was interested in is that his son, Travis, was looking for work, was interested in the animation field. He had done some rapping before that wasn't really taking off. And so Phil saw an opportunity to, invest in Will Vinton Studios. And one of the caveats was he asked, you know, give my son Travis a job. And at the time, you know, to be fair, he wasn't saying like, give him a job, you know, you know, high up in the company or anything. He started off as sweeping the floors and then as, you know, the lowest level of an animator. And, but that was really the interest of Phil. And then as time went on and the company started to struggle a little bit because they were making some big swings and had some big financial losses on things that just didn't work out the way that they were hoping to when Will really, you know, was rolling the dice and trying to, you know, be the next Walt Disney. Travis had been kind of climbing up the company and doing really well. And I think Will saw that opportunity that, you know, that company could be his and it could, and Travis could go to the top.
I mean, Vinton actually did sort of get pretty close to that Walt Disney dream of being the next Walt Disney when at some point Steve Jobs floated the idea of Pixar buying Will Vinton Studios. We have a clip of that too. So let's listen to Will Vinton telling that story.
Steve Jobs seemed to have an interest in us as a television organization. After quite a bit of due diligence between the companies, they came back and floated the idea that Pixar would purchase us and purchase all of my stock for Pixar stock. I'm going, well, what, you know, okay, I'm sitting on millions of shares of Will Vinton Studios stock, and there's this company called Pixar, and I'd be trading that for millions of shares or something of this Pixar stock, and basically just rejected it out of hand. Well, jump forward about 10, 15 years. If I had taken that deal, I'd be probably arguably one of the largest, maybe the largest shareholder of Disney.
Wow. There's like, it's kind of painful. I mean, he's laughing, but what did you make of this? Like, I guess in retrospect, pretty serious business decision that he,
I know. I mean, the irony of that too, is here's the guy that's, you know, really wants to be the next Walt Disney and is on that path. And could have essentially been, you know, financially at least, right? Like he could have been one of the biggest shareholders in Disney at the end. And you know, he turned it down. And I can see why he would, because Will Vinton Studios at the time was huge in commercials. And they were also like the TV version of what Pixar was doing. Pixar had just done Toy Story, or they were actually about to release Toy Story, and Vinton was doing the PJs, and they had a couple other television shows. So, you know, I could see why he didn't. In hindsight, of course, it's this epic, you know, mistake. And and there was something kind of similar with the California Raisins. Not getting any piece of the merchandise there was obviously, in hindsight, a mistake. But I do know that Will never dwelled on any of that stuff. His positive attitude that, you know, you see in the film, that is who he was. And he was always going to look forward and never look back. But it was funny that, so, you know, after he passed, I met up with his two sons, Billy and Jesse, and just kind of chatting about how I was going to proceed with the film. And I had mentioned this Pixar thing, and they didn't know about that. And one of his sons, Jesse, said, oh, Dad always told me his biggest mistake was not getting the Raisin merchandise. And then his other son said, oh, he always told me his biggest mistake was that he sold all these buildings in Northwest Portland, you know, back in the day, which are worth like, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars now. So wow. He had these three just like massive financial mistakes that, you know, it would have been the end of anybody, but he never really worried about that. And it's not that he ended up being, you know, super financial, you know, wealthy, like, you know, he did okay, but those were massive deals.
Yeah.
That he, that didn't go his way.
So if you could introduce someone to any one work by Will Vinton or from his studios that tells a person just what was so brilliant about this, you know, this animator, which film would that be, or what work?
Yeah, the one that comes to mind would be The Great Cognito. It's a short film. It's probably less than 10 minutes. And what I love about it's basically, it's a comedian doing a stand-up bit, but he's doing all these impersonations. And, you know, one of the trademarks of Will Vinton and Will Vinton Studios was metamorphosis. So this character is going to metamorphosize into all these different impressions that he's doing. And I think just like the creativity of it, the art of it, the timing and the editing of it, that's probably my favorite. And then I would also say The Adventures of Mark Twain, the feature film, because all of the different ways that they utilize the art form is shown off in that film. I mean, it is, as Will said, the zenith of claymation. That is the one feature film that he made. And unfortunately it didn't do well because they marketed it towards kids. It was never really meant for kids. And that was, you know, back then, if you had a film and it didn't make it, you were kind of done. So that was his only chance to do a feature.
As far as your film, where can people see it?
Yeah. So today is actually the theatrical premiere. Premieres in New York City tonight at 7:15 at the Quad Cinema. And I'll be there with Bill Plimpton doing a Q&A after the film. And it plays through the weekend and I think through Tuesday at the Quad. So it's just rolling out. It'll be in LA next week. Finally, the Portland premiere will be next Friday, Portland, Oregon, which is where, you know, the story really takes place, where Will's from. So that'll be great for that audience to finally see this film. I mean, it got released it premiered a year ago at the Tribeca Film Festival. So, you know, it took a year to kind of get to this point for the theatrical release that's starting now. And then, in October, it'll be available digitally. So, definitely excited for people to finally see this thing.
Mark Evans, director of Clay Dream. Thanks so much for joining us, Mark.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.